Jim Swinger, Clark County District Court, representing the judiciary.
I'm John Nesbitt, I'm the Director of Traffic Operations with the Department of Transportation, representing the section.
Cameron Dale, the Director here at the Traffic Safety Commission.
Jerry Nelson, if you have some questions.
All right, I expect Chief Ortiz will be here shortly. This is coming off the hill. So just a little bit about our format today. I apologize that the commission is with our back. You understand the limitations of our room here. We have an overflow room and more people come. The whole purpose of this meeting is to discuss the local implementation program reviews. We have created a special meeting today just for this purpose to allow as many folks as possible to understand what's going on here and to allow as many folks as possible the opportunity to comment on what's going on. We've gotten rid of all of our regular meetings, so we have a special meeting where we do that. We are going to first hear a presentation from staff on the program review, and then we're going to have public comment. Because of the amount of folks we have here today, we're going to need to limit the public comment to 3 minutes apiece. And if you are interested in commenting, you can sign up sheet that Don had earlier. If you have not signed up for it, I'm going to request that now would be a good time to have Don put your name on that sheet so that we can have it all ready to go. It's great to see so many folks who have made the trip. I myself traveled 300 miles or so to get here, and I really appreciate everybody who took time out of their day to do this. I think we are united in our goals here in this room, and that is to reduce traffic fatalities and traffic. the state of Washington. We may not totally agree on how to get there, but that's what this meeting is about, and I look forward to it. So Chris, Bill, if you wouldn't mind coming forward and giving us a presentation, I'd ask everyone to hold their comments and put them in the group after the presentation is done, and then we can ask Chris some questions if you have questions.
I've never been webcast before, so this is a first for me. But I know that it sounds like, looks like there's some folks in the mall that, if they know, okay. That there's overflow. Okay. My name is Chris Medill. I'm the director of the Programs and Services Division for the Commission. And it's my privilege to provide you the staff briefing today on our strategic review of the local implementation program. I want to thank you first for coming together for this special meeting and also for your flexibility as we're working through a process that we don't often encounter. Typically, we're in the business of providing news that is well received. We give grants. Admittedly, there is in this analysis and the proposal news that will not necessarily be well received by some. And we recognize that. We understand that. Today's topic, while this is no consolation to those who are impacted by the proposal that we're providing here, it has been a long road as we've gone through this analysis and provided the proposal that you'll see here. Those who are impacted are good people, and they are people we've built strong relationships with throughout many years. I want to thank Director Grandel, because a lot of the impetus behind this was because he was asking us as staff some difficult questions, and he gave us the space to answer those questions. I want to also thank many from our Programs and Services Division, particularly Angie Ward, Etka Esqueda, Erica Steinman, Debbie Besser, our research manager, Dr. Stacy Hoff, all who have contributed a lot of time and energy to this analysis. And I hope that that time and energy is reflected in the quality of our work here. In our division, we operate under an assumption that there is more than one right answer to the questions and the problems that we face. We believe it, and we believe that this is an area where that is certainly true. We are faced, and what we're talking about today is, how do we maximize our investments in order to accelerate our drive toward Target Zero? That's what today's discussion in our minds is about. And today's discussion is at the heart of that. And we believe unanimously that what you'll see here is the best right answer for the alternatives that we can, among the alternatives that we considered. We're also grateful to have the opportunity to provide this in, I think, an effort to dispel and clear up some of the misinformation that some of you have seen over the course of a couple of weeks through media reports and letters about the nature of this review and the proposal. It does feel good to have this chance to show what we've done, to show the process that we went through, and to really give our side as to the conclusions that we reached and why. So what I want to start out with is just kind of a base understanding of what local implementation is. This is our structure for deploying our traffic safety programs at the local level. Now, not all of the grants or projects that we administer travel through our local implementation program. We have an annual grants process that state agencies and local agencies alike will apply through for local projects. So the local implementation program, some of our projects are implemented and deployed through this program. Others are really individually as we work with local or state agencies in their work on Target Zero. In Washington, we use coordinators, And right now we have 22 of those coordinators. And we have added law enforcement liaisons. We added those several years ago to supplement. I won't get into a whole lot of description about the law enforcement liaison program. I will say that the original idea and concept behind it was to select full-time officers in counties where we had coordinators and pay them overtime to help promote traffic safety in those counties, something as a supplement to the coordinators themselves. We know by the rate of requests for reimbursement that in this program as well, there's much room for improvement. We're not seeing many requests for reimbursement. It doesn't mean necessarily that they're not active, but we think there's lots of improvement in terms of our law enforcement liaison network to help that program along as well and to get the kind of value that we seek there. The majority of states use LELs as their delivery mechanism for local programs. You'll see some of that when we get into just some other states that we explored. And there's an important distinction to make, especially right here at the start. There's a difference between traffic safety task forces and coordinators. The task forces are these local coalitions that help guide a whole variety of efforts in terms of traffic safety. The coordinators are those positions that we fully or partially fund in local areas. Today's discussion only centers on those coordinators, not on, there's no discussion here, there's no proposal here to eliminate or alter traffic safety task forces in local areas. We're talking about the coordinator positions. So let me just run you through the current structure of the program. We have 22 coordinators, 13 that are locally hosted FTEs, and 9 that are individual contractors. So you'll see these areas in purple are the places where we have coordinators. An important note here is that several of our coordinators do coordinate neighboring counties. That's particularly true for Grant County, for Spokane, for Chelan, Walla Walla, and Yakima. They do coordinate local counties. And the coordination, for the most part, is limited to the 3 DUI and 1 seatbelt enforcement campaigns that we administer throughout the year. But there is some coverage that occurs even in these green counties in the map here. There's two mechanisms that we administer the coordinators, and that's through locally hosted FTEs and individual contractors. The locally hosted FTEs work for typically a county or city government agency, and we fund somewhere between 40 and 70% of the total cost of that position, depending on the location. For the contractors, those contracts are fully funded by WTSC. Now, the local agencies do typically provide logistical support, certainly office space, supplies, and other things for that in that vein for those contracted positions. So there's really two of those mechanisms that we use for these coordinator positions. So what I want to do is I want to run through the proposal first to make sure that we have the time to get to the proposal, and then the last section we'll talk about really our process for getting to the proposal, the considerations, and the steps that we took to get there. There are 4 primary influences that have really guided this process. The first is increasing costs for our local coordinator positions. About 2 years ago, we were approached by a couple of local agencies that said we cannot continue to sustain the coordinator position at existing funding levels. There were increasing costs for those coordinator positions, and that's been one of the forces that has sort of bore down on us in terms of our funding for the positions. The other second one is this likelihood of declining federal traffic safety funding as traffic safety improves nationwide. And the next slide you'll see sort of these two local costs and federal funding charted out a little bit. But we do believe, and as you look at the life of Safety Lou, which was our previous federal transportation bill, and now we're in MAP 21, which is a 2-year bill, we do see some declining revenue. Now, we think that that's reasonable. When you look at the safety and prevention work in government, as the scope of a problem or the size of a problem diminishes, you do see some public funding for those programs decrease, not necessarily at a reciprocal rate, but still there will be declining revenue. So when we're looking at the federal resources, we are doing our best to look into the future, 5 and 10 years, to say what does this mean for us as a state as the size of our traffic safety problem becomes smaller throughout the nation. The third one that I want to hit on is this increasing focus on outcomes through Results Washington. I know many of you are familiar with Results Washington and the key indicators that each of the agencies have developed. We have 4 key indicators. It's overall fatalities, and then DUI, speeding, and young driver fatalities. So there's an increasing focus on real outcome-based performance. And then this fourth one is really about repositioning the agency to align with the new Target Zero plan. We feel, as sort of a provisioner in our state of traffic safety efforts, it's imperative that as an agency we're aligned. We've taken steps internally to make that alignment. We now have a program manager dedicated to the speeding program and have not in the past. We have a program manager dedicated to motorcycles because motorcycle fatalities are one of the few areas that are on the rise in terms of fatalities in the state. So these 4 forces together are really what have driven our analysis. This is the slide I referenced. On the left, you'll see this table for WTSC contributions to coordinator positions. This is an example in 4 locations of how those increasing costs have put some pressure on our funding outlook. You can see in North King, South King, Yakima, and Snohomish that those costs did increase. Now, North, South, and Snohomish are FTEs. Yakima is a contractor. We did sort of voluntarily increase the amount in Yakima because we believe it was needed in order to contract with a competent and viable candidate in that area. So you'll see just from 2012 and through 2013, there has been an increase in those costs. On the right side, you'll see that chart of the federal obligations to Washington State. These amounts come from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the federal agency that provides our grant funding. You'll see that there are really 2 parts to this that we have not included in the trend line. The first is in 2007, we got a large payout of funds that were not distributed to states, and it was fairly large, almost $2 million. Last year, we also got about $500,000 in MAP 21 funding for 2 sections that we did not qualify, or that we and most states did not qualify for. They're graduating driver's licensing sections and the distracted driving sections. So NHTSA ended up packaging all those funds that were not qualified for and then redistributing to states. So that may continue, it may not, we don't know. Even if you took the 2006 and 7 off of this chart, you would see that our funding for traffic safety is just ever so slightly decreasing, but it's virtually stable. But again, going back to what we're trying to do is take a long-term and a large perspective look at the federal revenue that comes into the state. And again, getting back to that idea of maximizing our funding in the places and in the strategies that will accelerate our drive toward Target Zero. So we have been in this process of evaluating location need. And really what this is it was an in-depth analysis of data throughout the state by county. We looked at a whole bunch of different data elements. We looked at fatalities, serious injuries. We looked at population, vehicle miles traveled. We looked at citizen to officer ratio, the number of commissioned officers in a county. We looked at a whole bunch of elements to try and determine where is need. Ultimately, what we developed was a formula-based approach where we rated counties. That formula incorporates the 2 Target Zero performance measures, fatalities and serious injuries, and a measure for exposure. Exposure is important to us because we need to know how much risk is really involved in these certain locations. So the exposure element was developed by Dr. Hoff, and it incorporates population, vehicles mile traveled, and driver population. So on this next slide, you'll see that ultimately this is how we came out in the formula. And as you look at this, there really are three tiers that emerged for us. The first tier is King, Pierce, Snohomish, Spokane, Clark, and Yakima. You'll see there's a clear distinction really between tiers one and two in that formula approach, where tier one was clearly above 1,000, and then in tier two, Thurston, Kitsap, and Benton Franklin were within 30 points of each other, but clearly almost on their own there, a good step below tier one. Tier three then was really anything below 700, and you'll see, especially from Grant down, you'll see that those Grant is at 500, and then everything else is in the 400s and below. Now the sheet does continue; it goes through all the counties, and in your packet, you've got the full analysis with all 39 counties there that you can see. Just for sake of space on the slide, not every county is included here. The one exception that I will point out is for Whatcom County. You'll see Whatcom County kind of straddles both tiers two and three in this formula approach. In terms of deriving need, Whatcom County is kind of right between the two tiers. Ultimately, we opted to, because of where we're at in Whatcom County right now with Target Zero plan strategies, and our assessment of where we could be with Target Zero plan strategies, we opted to include Whatcom County in the Tier 3 groupings. However, there certainly could be a case made for Whatcom to be up into the Tier 2 category as well. So that's the one that sits kind of right there in the middle. The one thing to note also on this slide is that there are two locations with population centers straddling county lines. And in this, we have combined those two. That's Chelan, Douglas, and then the Tri-Cities area of Benton and Franklin. We combined those two locations because it's our belief that proven and recommended strategies in those population centers have a direct impact on both of those counties. So for us, it made sense to have those combined in an analysis because those population centers straddle the county lines. One area that you'll note that we have often referred to our coordinator in Grant County as the Grant Adams coordinator. We did not include the grouping of the two counties here because there is no population center between those two that straddles the county line. And so Target Zero plan strategies in one county would not necessarily have a direct effect in the neighboring county. So we kept that one separate, but in those two cases with the Tri-Cities and Wenatchee area, we combined those two. So this is just a slide that gives you a snapshot of the costs for our coordinator positions in these in the three tiers. You look at tier one, we're spending about $457,000 for salaries and benefits for coordinator positions there. In the tier two locations, those four counties, but really three locations, it's $128,000. And then in the tier three locations, which is several counties, we're spending $471,000. This next slide gives you kind of a summary look, divided out by federal and state dollars, as to the cost that the coordinators have for us. In total, the state cost is $655,000, which is right up against our annual state appropriation for this program. We have since 2009 supplemented the local implementation program with federal funding in order to have the coordinators in the locations that we currently have them. So here's the federal allocation, which is close to $600,000. $200,000 of that was set aside for meetings, travel, training, and materials. But in all, the costs really come to about $1.25 million a year. That's the obligated cost. Expenditures aren't necessarily always right at obligated costs, but typically tend to be pretty close. So these are the proposed changes. And again, a lot of this, when I get into the section on process, I'll talk about why we drew these conclusions. In Tier 1 locations, we're proposing to maintain WTSC funding for FTE positions in North King, South King, Snohomish, Pierce, and Spokane. We are proposing to transition Yakima and Clark to locally hosted FTEs, which are currently individual contractors. In Tier 2 locations, we are proposing to maintain funding for FTE positions in Kitsap and Thurston, and then transition the Benton and Franklin position to a locally hosted FTE as well. In the Tier 3 locations, we're proposing to discontinue WTSC funding for the individual contractors in Grant, Whatcom, Skagit, Chelan Douglas, Mason, and Grays Harbor, and discontinue WTSC funding for the FTE positions in Lewis, Walla Walla, Clallam, Kittitas, Cowlitz, and Colville. In place of those county-level coordinators, we propose to create a more regional-type approach, and essentially establishing regional coordinators primarily to manage the proven and recommended strategies that we know can work in those areas. Right now, we believe, is mostly the high visibility enforcement and media campaigns that we operate throughout the year. So those regional coordinators will really be focused on those activities. The important sub-bullet here for us is, as we get into executing this plan, we want to retain some flexibility in implementing the regional groupings and coordination. This map shows really what that new structure would look like. You can see the county level coordinators in these locations, and then you can see the regional groupings here kind of in the peach, and then the light blue would be the west side grouping. So we have talked at length about whether or not we believe it is feasible for someone to coordinate this large tract of land. We've had lots of discussions about it, and in our minds right now the answer is yes. And I'll tell you why in a couple of slides. You'll see the amount of money managed in those regions versus the amount of money managed here. And that's not the only indicator, but it's at least one that shows us that it's possible to manage those tracts of land through a regional coordination. We did consider some alternative models. We believe that regionalization, a pure regional model, would not do the state justice because of the sort of geographic diversity that we have. We have large population centers that don't lend themselves well to regionalization. And ultimately, when we looked at the analysis, we conducted our review of the formula, and then we looked at how well, from our perspective, Target Zero plan strategies can be implemented in those locations. And we think there are locations that do lend themselves well to proven and recommended Target Zero strategies, but there are also locations in the state that do not. And so ultimately, we ended up with a hybrid model, a model that combines county-level coordinators and regionalization in a way that still gets us to the strategies that we need to drive toward Target Zero, but that also allows us to leverage and to direct the funding, the limited federal resources that we get, to those strategies themselves. This gives you just an idea of the proposed structure and its funding. You can see that, again, in Tier 1 locations, it's about $450,000 and $457,000. Tier 2 locations, it remains close to $128,000. So these slides really are meant to show the kind of activities that we currently fund broken out by the tiers. And again, this is really a work on our part to determine whether what we're asking of coordinators in the state aligns with what's in here. So you can see on Tier 1 that it's really broken into two parts for each tier: proven and recommended Target Zero plan strategies, and then in the gray font, there's strategies not recommended or designated as unknown. You can see in Tier 1 locations, we do a good job. And this is part of that analysis that we did that showed that so many of our Target Zero plan strategies are well suited for larger, more highly populated areas. With Target Zero teams, corridors, DUI courts, party intervention patrols, and home safe bar programs. Those sort of activities are well suited to these larger areas. When you get into Tier 2 locations, there are fewer. And then when you get into Tier 3 locations, what we saw in our analysis of activities is certainly more emphasis on strategies that involve education, community outreach, that sort of thing. So this next slide kind of gives you an idea under the proposal what activities would be funded. And you'll see that a lot of those community-based activities would not be included in our revised statements of work for the coordinator positions. I think it's vital to note here that because we're trying to pinpoint federal resources toward the strategies we know work, we're not prohibiting or discouraging any of these community-based educational activities. That's not where we want to be. We do feel like targeting our federal resources to those proven strategies is our best route to Target Zero. And that's why you see in Tier 3 locations, it's really now a focus on high visibility enforcement and media campaigns, but also a commitment to evaluate emerging data and then leverage new opportunities for Target Zero plan strategies, for those proven and recommended strategies. In Tier 2, we'd look at some additional high visibility enforcement projects. And I'll talk about that in just a second, about why we would do that. And again, expanding to some other Target Zero plan strategies in the proven and recommended category. And then in Tier 1 locations, a continual push to use the proven and recommended strategies here for Tier 1 locations. I know that this is certainly a slide that has garnered some attention, and in part because a lot of what we do is education-based. You'll notice that while research does show some short-term impact on students that attend programs such as the high school educational assemblies, the longer-term change in behavior is not evident from those strategies. And it's for that reason that you do not see explicitly in here the strategies involving high school assembly programs. Again, we're not saying that those ought to somehow go away completely. What we're saying is in managing and being stewards of the federal resources, we feel compelled to focus those resources on the proven and recommended strategies in this plan that you all and the governor signed in December. That's the position. And there have been some attempts, I think, to loosely tie those high school educational programs to some of the strategies in here, but you'll notice that for those strategies, they include an enforcement component, and that's a big problem with those high school educational assemblies and some of those additional strategies. So education itself, on a level like what we see in those strategies, is not a proven or recommended Target Zero plan strategy. So I feel like that's something that we need to pay attention to, and I want to point out in these slides. So ultimately, what we get to is a more efficient and effective local implementation program. As a data-driven organization, again, we feel just compelled to continually evaluate where we're investing our resources in order to maximize and accelerate our progression toward Target Zero. The benefits of this structure include having really our state appropriations specifically dedicated to those regional coordinators to the coordinators in Tiers 1 and Tier 2, and have the federal appropriation dedicated to the regional coordinators in the Tier 3 locations. And ultimately, our estimate of about $500,000 in federal savings is for us an additional benefit. I want to provide just one example of the possibilities of where we might look to invest this. And this is a slide that tells us a couple of things. The first is, what you'll see here is the three tiers. And in the white band, you'll see that's the average amount of funding per location in that tier that the coordinator has managed. So in tier one, it's about $120,000 among those locations, or I'm sorry, within each of those locations. In tier two locations, there's about $20,000 in each of those locations that are going into our enforcement campaigns. And in the tier three locations, you'll see on the west side, all of those counties combined, all of these counties combined is about $80,000 in enforcement campaign funding. On the east side, these counties combined averages about $45,000 a year in enforcement campaign funding. We believe we can do better, and we've heard from law enforcement that there is capacity to expand that. And that's not the case with all law enforcement, but we have been told by some enforcement agencies that there is capacity to expand participation in what is really one of our hallmark strategies, high visibility enforcement matched with media campaigns. So we set out to really put down a goal per tier, to say, we think we can do better. We can do better in tier one locations. We know we can do better in tier two locations when it comes to this hallmark strategy. And we definitely think we can do better in the eastern and western regions. These are funds that in our mind should go to law enforcement for extra patrols and to really boost our high visibility enforcement campaigns. So ultimately, that comes out to an increase of about $500,000 if we were to reach our goals for those three tiers. So that's one example of one of the places we could invest these funds in real proven Target Zero strategies to drive our way to Target Zero. So with the rest of the time, I'm going to document probably fairly quickly the process that we went through. Several of us attended a Lean Six Sigma training back over a year ago, and we did utilize some of the tools that we learned in that training. We particularly used this five whys analysis, and this is just a tool really to help us dig down to root cause. And I'll be real honest that some of the answers to the question, when we got to the root causes, it turned the spotlight back on us as an agency. We feel like there are places where we have not been very clear in direction, we have not been well aligned with Target Zero, and we've not done a good job of managing the implementation program. And so, in that sense, this idea of five whys and getting to root cause really did shine a light on ourselves. We incorporated what in Lean Six Sigma is this voice of customer. We put together a collaborative element in this review, and I'll talk about that in just a couple of slides. And ultimately, when we got to the tasks, once we got to a place where we knew or had a pretty good feel for the tasks that were occurring in these tiers, we used this idea of value add, non-value add. In our application of it was proven recommended Target Zero plan strategies and those that are not in Target Zero or are listed but designated as unknown. We had listening tours in 2012. We had a significant amount of staff turnover. I was new to this position. Darren was relatively new as the director of the agency, and we had just lost three program managers, one of which spent many years running the local implementation program. We did not have institutional knowledge about how it operated, about what we were getting, about what we were even asking. So we conducted these listening tours. We went out to 18 locations in 3 months. We asked them about their history as a coordinator, their history as a task force, their priorities. We talked about some of the needs and challenges they had. And there is an executive summary of the listening tours in your packet. The primary thing we learned, and I personally visited in 11 of these locations, the primary thing we learned and what we heard was coordinators wanted more direction, better direction from us about the kind of activities they ought to be engaged in. And that was a little bit of a revelation to us to say, oh, are we in a place where we're providing good, solid direction about the kind of activities we want to be invested in? And at the time, the answer was no. And this proposal, I think, gets us much closer to where we want to be, where we're being real explicit in the kind of activities we want to invest resources in. in order to maximize our work in Target Zero. We did put together a strategic assessment work group. This was that idea in Lean Six Sigma, Voice of Customer. We put together a collaborative element, and in our minds, we didn't necessarily, I think we could have conducted this review without SOG, but it would not have been as good. We did go through this process with coordinators, with project directors. We limited the scope to what we thought was a manageable scope, and it included 5 questions, and you've got them right here. We really wanted to know, what are the key tasks for coordinators? What are the resources that host agencies need? What's that division of labor between the law enforcement liaison and the coordinator? And what are some of the best practices around the state? So the results provided us some great insight. And we acknowledge one of the last bullet here, some of the communication in terms of recommendation, we felt like we could have handled a little bit better. There was some ambiguity about that. There was especially some confusion around how the results of SOG would then be presented to Director Grandel. And in retrospect, we wish that we had been a little more clear with the SOG group themselves about what that was to look like. But for our purposes, we got great insight into coordinator activities and in how those coordinators could best function. We did explore some other states' models. We contacted some peer states. I'll just especially highlight here that Minnesota and Oregon are considered peer states to Washington because of some similarities in geography, in population. There's urban centers mixed with rural locations. And what we found was most of these states employ some kind of a regional model. You can see California, as large as they are, has 10 coordinators. Oregon and Minnesota use a regional model, as well as Florida. They use 7 LELs to manage local implementation. As a percent of our overall budget, we invest more in our local coordination implementation program than anyone. And finally, just the last couple of slides here, we did make some incremental changes in 2013. We developed a more specific deliverable-based statement of work based off of the information we were gathering in this review, and it really focused on high-visibility enforcement and in managing the coalition of the local coalition or task forces. We did ask all of the individual contractors to keep a daily billable hours log for us. We did ask some of the FTEs to do the same, and that enlightened us quite a bit on the kind of activities that we were getting and that we were seeing from local coordinators. And then ultimately in early 2013, because of some of the need for additional state funding for high priority locations that had rising costs, we discontinued positions in Pacific County and Jefferson County. Jefferson County was vacant at the time, but Pacific was not. But we did discontinue those and essentially redirected the state funds from those locations to those that had some increasing costs. So what we learned as we went through this process was that coordinators in Tier 1 and Tier 2 locations tend to have an easier time implementing the proven or recommended strategies in Target Zero Plan. And likewise, coordinators in Tier 3 locations tend to utilize fewer proven or recommended strategies and ultimately spend a good deal of time in the community-based educational activities. And I'll reemphasize, we're not in some way condemning these community-based activities. This is an effort for us to really refine that funding source and direct toward the Target Zero Plan strategies. You saw in the proposal that we are proposing to turn the current individual contractors in Yakima, Clark, and Benton Franklin counties to FTE positions. And this is the reason why. In our analysis, we found that locally hosted FTEs are generally better positioned for success. The host agencies tend to feel a better or greater sense of investment in those positions because they are contributing hard dollars. And this is not just law enforcement. We have FTE positions in county health departments, in prosecutors' offices, and we discovered that there is sort of this sense of investment when there's an FTE partially or fully dedicated to this work. The FTEs tended to be better connected to the other counties in the area that are involved in safety and prevention. That's particularly true with connection to engineering agencies and to safety and prevention agencies. And again, our feel was that direct supervision of the FTEs fostered greater support for from the host agency and provided clear accountability for the grant-funded tasks. So really, this was, when we came to this conclusion, that's why you see in the proposal an effort on our part then to transition the county-level coordinators to FTEs. So this is really just these two models juxtaposed, so you can see the current structure and the proposed hybrid structure, which incorporates the location, the county-level coordinators, as well as the regionalized coordinators. I think one thing to highlight here is that the proposed model leaves intact as much as the current model does. And this, there is a lot that seems like a big change, but we are leaving intact a good portion, about half of the previous structure, and moving to this regionalized approach. Finally, the next steps in this process would be, as we get into implementing or executing the changes, is to visit each location impacted by the changes, to personally go there to discuss the implication, and then to identify and negotiate with candidate agencies, in Yakima, Clark, and Benton Franklin counties, the locally hosted coordinator positions, to find candidates in those locations. We would also identify and negotiate with candidates in the regions to host those regional coordinator positions. In the event that, because of the nature of the work and the structure, if we are not able to find viable partners in that area, the WTSC would contract directly for those services in the regions. And then along with that, we'd like to look at how to essentially use and leverage the law enforcement liaisons, particularly in the regions, to supplement in order to bridge that gap between the size of the region, particularly in the east side of the state, with viable law enforcement liaisons to help coordinate those three DUI and one seatbelt high visibility enforcement campaigns. And then the last part is reporting back to you in April and then in July on progress and any adjustments that we make in terms of the regional groupings and how the coordination is handled. So with that, I conclude my presentation.
Thank you, Chris. Do we have any quick questions from the commissioners, Chris? Mm-hmm. If so I've been asked to read one thing in the record, and that is a letter from National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which is our funder for these federal funds that we've been discussing. I'm just going to do that right now. This is a letter to Director Grondell from John Moffitt of NHTSA. It goes as follows. I recently saw the news of strategic review of the agency's local traffic safety implementation program. I commend the WTSC for initiating this review in an effort to improve efficiency and effectiveness. Openness to continuous improvement is one of the reasons Washington is one of the nation's leaders in traffic safety. As a longtime observer of WTSC, I know firsthand the sensitivity around longstanding traffic safety programs, in particular the network of local coordinator positions across the state. In one form or another, this network has existed for nearly 30 years. The number of coordinator positions has varied slightly over time, but for the most part, has remained constant for the last 15 years. The value of this activity has varied greatly from area to area. The advent of strategic highway safety plans, referred to in Washington as the Target Zero Plan, has placed great emphasis on the use of evidence-based strategies. States are required to develop performance-based traffic safety plans that focus resources on strategies supported by research. Once again, Washington has produced one of the best examples of these plans in the latest version approved by Governor Jay Inslee. The process behind the development of this plan included thorough and collaborative review of strategies, resulting in one of the best lists of evidence-based strategies available. The next call to action is for state and local agencies to alike align their resource investments with the proven and recommended strategies in the Target Zero plan. NHTSA has a compelling interest in ensuring the federal grant funds administered by WTSC are used effectively. The WTSC Strategic Review of Local Implementation Program and changes that will result are critical in this work. We hope these changes will maximize the state's ability to invest federal funding in the most effective evidence-based strategies. We must also limit or eliminate funding for unproven activities for those that have demonstrated minor impacts on the state's death and injury toll. I support the changes to the local implementation program you are considering. While these changes are difficult, they are essential to carrying out the direction of Congress that was established in MAP 21 Transportation Authorization. Sincerely, John M. Moffitt. So, just wanted to read that into the record. So now we'll go ahead with public comment. We could turn on the lights. Yeah. Has everybody who wants to have a chance to be public comment had a chance to sign up for this debate? If you haven't, there's one last chance to go over and have Dylan put your name on the list. We're going to run this like a city council meeting, which is the only kind of meeting I know how to run. What I'd like to do is have me present up the front of the room so all the commissioners can see you, hear you clearly. That's also the best place for our conference call and our webcast to capture you. I'm going to have everybody have 3 minutes, and I have a little device here that goes green at 1 minute, and yellow at 30 seconds, and then red when 3 minutes are up. Just to make it real simple. Try to refrain from clapping, booing, or anything. We want to give everybody a good distraction-free opportunity to present. And then, commissioners, if you have key questions of fact that you're not sure about and you would like to ask somebody to present, feel free to ask them. But I'd ask you to try to limit those if possible. I want to not have too much of a back-and-forth discussion. And then once all the public comment is done, the commission will deliberate and talk about where we'll go next and take a vote on this strategy that we have presented for us. So with that, I'd like to ask Rick Scott to come up and present to us, please. Rick, if you can just state your name and your agency for the record. Thank you for coming. You have 3 minutes.
Sure. Thank you. My name is Rick Scott. I'm the sheriff from Grace Harbor County. And as the gentleman said, the proposal was not going to be well received by everyone, and so I would be in that category. Our program is very important to us. And I've been with the sheriff's office for just shy of 37 years. And in the first time in the history that I can remember, we had zero fatalities on county roadways in Grace Harbor County last year. And we have over 600 miles of county roads. So I would respectfully disagree that our program's not as effective based on the strategies that we've been employing for the many years that we've been doing so, because we have got our fatalities down on county roads to zero. So in the interest of brevity, I would ask the commission to hold off on implementing any changes and give the sheriffs and the chiefs an opportunity to work with the Traffic Safety Commission to reconsider this proposal and perhaps do something that better serves the rural communities.
Thank you very much, Mr. Scott. Up next, we have Casey Salisbury.
Casey Salisbury, Mason County Sheriff. With the exception of those that are here representing the president of Washington State Sheriff's Association, I would agree with Sheriff Scott on his comments. During this time, just so you understand, my phone is lit up from across the state of Washington, mainly from those rural counties and the rural county sheriffs. There's great concern over this, and each one of them strongly disagree with what is happening with this program. Coming from a background, I don't mean if anybody in the education area, but I spent many of my years as an educator, and for years we heard the term evidence-based research shows. The problem with that is as many of those programs over the years that I was in education that were going to come along and save the world, they didn't. And then it became something else and something else. It was generally because those that were making the decisions and doing the research weren't asking the ground people on the ground how it really worked in their own communities or in their own schools. And we've seen it go on and on and on there. We're starting to see it here. I would really encourage those that are making this decision to slow this process down a little bit and think very, very carefully about what you're doing. My community, for one, is going to be very, very strongly affected by this, as are many of the other rural communities. And I guess on behalf of those sheriffs that aren't able to be here today, I don't know how to overemphasize enough the unhappiness that is going through those rural county sheriffs. It is going to be easier for the Tier 1 and Tier 2 agencies, I agree with that, because they've already got more resources than those of us on the outskirts. It's easy to take something that's already there and make it better. It's really tough to take places that really need help and make them better. So please think very, very carefully on this, and I would like to slow this down and reconsider a different proposal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Up next, Nancy Walters.
Hi, I'm Nancy Walters from Wallowa County, and I'm the Target Zero Manager in that county. If you look at the responsibilities of the Rural and Urban Task Force managers and the outcomes that were presented by the SLAR committee, there are 13 tasks. We found that 13 tasks were relevant to both rural and urban counties. It has been stated that coordinators in the most populous locations have an easier time implementing these Target Zero strategies, and that coordinators in rural areas utilize fewer proven or recommended Target Zero strategies. It has been said that we spend more time in community-based activities, such as mock crashes and Grim Reaper programs, that help directly educate our youth as to the tragic effects of driving under the influence. Victim impact panels showing offenders the consequences of making a poor choice. Child passenger safety programs that educate our parents and caregivers how to reduce the current 90% misuse rate in our state. Being in presence at local fairs and festivals where we have the opportunity to communicate with hundreds of people on local traffic safety issues. Or recognizing our law enforcement and community members for their dedication to traffic safety in our community. Are these not the local enforcement and education programs and efforts that we as Target Zero managers should be doing in our communities? Do these programs not, in the words of the Traffic Safety Commission, build the partnerships designed to reduce the incidence of impaired driving? Commissioners, you have in a packet with you letters from my partners, my volunteers in Walla Walla County. I urge you to please take the time and review these and the current Target Zero manager as is, and consider the devastating loss to many Washington citizens if this new plan should be implemented. One of the last things for you to consider, 8 of you are going to get a rose. Each rose represents the 8 people who died on average during this time that I have spent in the room here today. Since the time when my husband and daughter were killed in 18,611 people were killed by drunk drivers. Over the years of sharing my story, I have pondered the what ifs. What if I had taken another way home? Here's a new what if. What if the education programs that we provide today had been available? Would someone have taken the keys away from that drunk driver? Would he have sought out a designated program, a designated driver, or perhaps even taken our tipsy taxi program, much like the one that they say is a proven strategy in our state today? We are accountable to the people we serve and the interests and the motorists on our highways. Please ask yourself how many fatalities are acceptable on Washington State roads. Take your rose home, give it to someone you love, and ask yourself how many traffic fatalities are acceptable from your family members. Remember Target Zero, zero fatalities in Washington State.
Thank you. Next up, Tom Robbins.
Hi, everyone. Tom Robbins, Chief of the Lansing Police Department, and my former life was my last former life was Field Operations Commander for the State Patrol right there in 2001. I worked very closely with the Traffic Safety Commission from the early 90s with a lot of staff, and I really get along really well with them and respect them very highly. So I appreciate what you've done. Also, thanks to the Commission for being here and listening to this. I do, as police chief in North Central Washington, I want to speak for the entire state, but I believe that this plan, you know, when you look at data, I think data is very, very valuable. And data-based decision-making, that sort of thing. It's a great tool, but I think there's a lot of anecdotal information also with community-based policing processes. And I think with the way this plan is laid out, it's going to create a huge void within the rural areas of the state where the fatality collisions are high comparatively on those roads. And the metropolitan areas really bode well with data because there's a lot of people. I used to work in Seattle as a state trooper. It was like shooting fish out of goldfish and all the stuff in your eyes. They've got the resources. And I think it's critically important when you look at rural areas. You know, a person might, an officer might drive 50 miles or 100 miles and drive around for hours and not see a DUI. So it's a lot harder to address DUIs in the rural areas. Also, the resources for the agencies are very slim, extremely slim. And we're addressing county budgets. And the problem is, if we have a coordinator that's two counties away, or three counties away, they aren't present there, and the agency personnel don't know them, and it's going to be very difficult to be effective. We really don't have the resources to apply to traffic safety programs without having a coordinator with the task force. And I just submit, again, ask respectfully to let some of us be involved to help with looking at this plan and trying to assist maybe in modifying it somewhat to better serve the rural areas as well as metropolitan areas. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have Harvey Threshold, and I'm sure I mangled some of his last names.
Good.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Harvey Joss. I'm the sheriff in Douglas County, right across the road from Chief Robbins there. And again, I want to thank the commission for building this and come to speak to you. I thought about this a lot and I did some research. I'd like to read into the record a paragraph out of the 2014 Washington State Highway Safety Plan. It says the primary mechanism for deploying effective traffic safety strategies is through local community target zero managers. The Safety Commission partners with communities throughout the state to host a resident traffic or target zero manager. There's currently 21 managers throughout the state covering 90% of the population and geography. These individuals work to deploy statewide initiatives at the local level by coordinating local law enforcement participating in emphasis patrols, working with local media and alternative sources to publicize enforcement efforts, and conducting traffic safety education at the community level. By localizing these efforts, statewide programs are able to respond to local politics, attitudes, and conditions quickly and effectively. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you something that happened last Friday at 12:15 in the afternoon. Between the town of Rock Island and East Wenatchee, which is in Douglas County, there was a DUI accident. A vehicle went off the road, rolled over, and before it came to a stop and the victim was ejected at approximately 60 miles an hour, it left a trail of beer cans and the contents of his cranium scattered across the parking lot of the boat ramp. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be coarse, but that's the face of DUI to me. I don't, with all due respect to the people who put this idea together, I don't think the proposal is complete. I think it can be fleshed out more with the anecdotal things that Chief Robbins said. And I'm going to concur with the other sheriffs and the chief that I wish we would kind of step back, look at this, maybe connect with the boots on the ground, those of us in uniform, and at least factor in some of the concerns that we have. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Up next, Todd Fossey.
I'm Todd Foss, Under Sheriff of Pacific County, and we've already lost our target zero manager. She was a godsend to me because she did all the work, all the educational aspects of what we did, the fairs at the schools. We have none of that anymore. We are financially challenged in our county. Access 17 deputies. I don't have time to assign one of them to do the work that she did, and we don't have the funds to do that. So this has greatly affected us, and I concur with the other speakers that have already given their opinions. So I wholeheartedly ask you to reconsider this program.
Thank you very much. Next we have Jim Forte.
That's close enough. Jim, well on the first
day. I trust you'll give us the criminal correct.
Well, I come from a family of 12. My seven sisters like to call it Forte. There's some French Canadian in there. Correct pronunciation is Forte. My name is Jim Forte, and I'm with the Clown County Sheriff's Department. I served as the Target Zero Manager for the past 29 and a half years, so I'm the old part of the group. And I just want to start off by talking about our packet here. There's some information I hope you get a chance to look at. And if you have any questions, my contact information is included. I just want to talk about, first of all, the great record this state has attained by the collaborative effort between local communities and the state of Washington. It's something we've all been proud of, and there's no disagreement, because the numbers speak for themselves. When you compare five different categories of measure, the NHTSA Highway, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration looks at, we are actually one of the lowest flying states in the entire nation for each one of those measurements, even though we're much higher in terms of some of the other measurements that we see. So this is an outstanding record of achievement, and it's proof of the tremendous progress that has occurred in our state in its effort to reach Target Zero. Zero deaths and zero injuries by 2030. And it's a confirmation that this collaborative effort between state and local governments over the past 30 years has worked. Just wanted to throw a few factoids out there to you. For example, not only are we very good in terms of reducing traffic deaths, especially impaired driving, but we're also one of the nation's leaders in seatbelt usage rates. In fact, we're so good, we are absolutely number one. Washington's had the highest rate among 50 states for seatbelt usage, amazing five times between the years 2003 and 2012. So that was 2003, 6, 10, 11, and 12. We were number one. And in fact, when you look at it, we are the only state in the entire nation that appears in the top three all 10 years. That's a pretty amazing record, and it didn't happen in the 90s. The other thing I'd like to talk about is information packet towards the back, and in that you'll find a chart that talks about the Washington County fatality rate from 2000 to 2012. And what we've done, working with an epidemiologist, you'll see the top line represents the road fatality rate, and you see the slope of decline over time, the trend line, if you will. Green, we had to go with green because we're in the evergreen state, and the bottom represents the urban. Now, we know that about 61% of all traffic fatalities occur out in the rural areas. What you'll notice about this line is that if you were to extend this, and I did this with the help of a paper cutter, if you extend it out to the year 2030, the decline is so much sharper in the rural areas, which have the biggest problem. Actually, we'll get there in about 2025. If you take the green line and extend it out there, the state gets there at about 2026 and a half. And if you extend the urban line at its present rate, and you can see the difference, that it's not very much of a decline, actually, they wouldn't get there until after 2030. So I think it's a testimony to what's going on out there in rural communities that have fewer resources and lower budgets. Right down that decrease over time, the rural is 37% decline, urban 30, and the green line is 36. Okay, just two more charges. We talked about the peer states. This is actually a chart that looks at those six and shows Washington and where we rank in terms of all traffic fatalities, rural and urban. And the incredible thing you'll find that even when we don't use the LEL program on a regional basis, you'll see that our rates are either number two or three across the board from year to year and looking at the average. And finally, this last one that I'm going to talk about is actually about saving lives in our state, and I put together all the Target Zero task forces, looked at that, compared to ones that don't have our programs, that don't have the teams out there. And what we found for the big three, Kane, Pierce, and Amish, they saved a total of 138 lives and about 51% of the population. And when you look at all the others, the smaller task forces, we actually saved 149 lives. So even more lives, even though we have smaller populations and smaller resources. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And now we have up next Mitch Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commission members. My name is Mitch Barker. I'm the Executive Director of the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. So we represent all 39 sheriffs and most of the police chiefs in the state. And my phone as well has been busy the last few days. Again, if I had more time, I'd take more time, seriously, to commend the staff and what's been done here. It's a great study. I can't argue the numbers. I'm not here to argue data points or numbers. Darren, the executive or director, Mandel's done a great job reaching out to me and staying in touch. I'm not here to argue data. I'm here to argue a little bit about if that's the only criteria we're going to use, and I have some thoughts about that later. But we did just the faxman policing for years in this country. Mid-80s, where our goal was to tell communities what they were going to get from us. And strangely, it wasn't working. And so we can do the data thing and say, here's what you get. You've heard from a variety of people, somebody who did 29 years, going to a community and giving them what they asked for, helping them to reduce those losses and those numbers, and really doing, I think if I understood Mr. Madero, really doing what the commission either allowed them to or told them tacitly to do. And so now it's been reevaluated. We understand, our members understand, it's your money, you're the grantors, and you have to use that money the best way you can, and we understand changes are coming. But in this case, the changes, we've looked at it, what we've allowed you to do isn't working. We're changing it, we're letting your people go. We wish them the best. And I would just suggest that's patently unfair at this point, without at least coming back, if nothing else, we'd like to ask a little more time for some of our members to meet and work with the staff and see if we can find at least a little bit of time here, a little bit of redirection, perhaps putting Wilmwood's community effort back on the table and discussing it. I'm here really today to see if I can slow this down a little bit. And if nothing else, for the people that are about to lose their jobs after one or two or three decades, to give them a little more time to reconfigure and get set to see what this is going to look like.
Thank you. So, I'm surprised with this many people in the room, we don't have more folks signed up. So that's the end of our list. I must be missing a page. Okay. Oh, Scott Beaver.
And drive here 5 hours. Yeah, with all due respect to your timer, if you cut me off, you'll have a little Jimmy Valvano moment.
Well, we're going to time you anyway.
Okay, that's fine. I'm Scott Beaver, I'm your chief of police for the city of Walla Walla. I'm not here to argue the data points either. What I am here to do is talk to the commissioners about what works in the Walla Walla Valley. And I can tell you what works in the Walla Walla Valley. Our Target Zero Manager works in the Walla Walla Valley. Our Target Zero Manager, it's not just a job for her, it's her mission. During the past 23 years, she's developed strong working relationships with law enforcement, health department, court services, schools, EMS, traffic engineering, local businesses, and community volunteers. In 2013 alone, she, through these partnerships, has provided and facilitated over 200 programs and publicity campaigns aimed at education, prevention, and enforcement that reached over 28,000 Walla Walla County residents. That is almost half of our population in 1 year. Annual volunteers contribute over 2,000 hours, and community partners provide over $40,000 worth of goods and services. Over the years, the people and partners in Walla Walla County have matched the funding from the Traffic Safety Commission threefold or more. Through a campaign of education and enforcement, there has been a 39% decrease in Walla Walla County DUIs over the past 5 years. Unfortunately, in the past 5 years, 24 people have died on the Walla Walla County roadways. The majority of those deaths, 16, occurred in the rural areas of the county, emphasizing the fact that the majority of Washington State's fatalities are occurring in more rural counties. In 18 years of the victim impact panel presentations, DUI recidivism remains low at just over 11%. For the past 7 years, the task force has pulled together businesses and volunteers to provide rides home via the Tipsy Taxi program during Christmas and New Year's season. This program has removed 1,700 intoxicated people from the city streets and roadways of Walla Walla. Over 14,000 high school students in our six county high schools have viewed or participated in alcohol prevention programs facilitated by the task force. In 17 years of these programs, there has not been a single youth fatality during homecoming, prom, or graduation. In fact, there has not been an alcohol-related traffic fatality at any time of the year involving a teenager since 1993. It works. We can put it up on the board that it's not a proven strategy and it's not recommended. It works in Walla Walla County. What's being done in Walla Walla Valley is working. If the goal is zero, I'd say that our TZM is doing, what she's doing is getting us very close. The programs and volunteers being organized and represented, the programs and volunteers being organized and presented in the Walla Walla Valley cannot and will not be sustained without our target zero manager. If the commission's goal is prevention, I urge the commission take a closer look at what's working, where it's working, and retain those programs. The Target Zero Management Program is working in Walla Walla, and our numbers prove it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Erica Simmons.
Hello, I'm Erica Simmons from Grant Adam. Several of the counties identified in Tier 3 have received support through the Commission's Child Passenger Safety Program as well as the Child Car Seat Project. Their involvement has demonstrated outreach to underserved populations as required by Map 21. Many of the TCMs in Tier 3 counties lead their local CPS centers. Washington is considered to be a high-rate seatbelt use state. Map 21 requires components to be met in order to receive federal occupant protection funding, some of which are network of nationally certified CPS technicians, distribution of car seats to low-income families, child car seat inspection stations localized in areas that serve the majority of the state's population, while showing evidence of outreach to the underserved area. Currently, the commission qualifies for $800,000 in occupant protection funding. Up to 75% of this funding may be applied to other priority traffic safety programs if the state can maintain its aggregate expenditures from all state and local sources for occupant protection program at or above the average level of such expenditures in fiscal years 2010 through 2011. With a sudden change for the task force program, it is a concern that occupant protection funding and the lives of Washington's most vulnerable population will be at risk. This will affect funding for the Click-It-Or ticket as well as the state CPS program. The three counties where the TZM leads the CPS efforts in the Tier 3 counties, where the TZM leads the CPS efforts, account for 20% of the state's car seats being checked and 28% of the seats being distributed in Washington State. Just as an example, currently King County is struggling to keep resources intact as there is no longer a South King County Safe Kids Coordinator, so three of their four inspection stations are no longer existing. And I want to touch base real quick on the educational aspect. The Target Zero Awards, which are coming up in April, I have two DREs who have gone out to every high school in our county after six deaths of young driver or young teens in our area. So between July 2010 and February 2011, six youth died in Grand County due to excessive speed or impaired driver involved malicious. So Sergeant Sainsbury and Trooper Raymond made it their mission to educate youth in order to reduce youth casualties. They acquired two vehicles that were also involved, and they took them from school to school. They went to every high school in Grant County and gave a presentation on the risks of impaired driving. And they had the youth go outside to view the damaged cars. From 2011, when they started delivering presentations, until 2013, they visited over 5,700 students countywide. Most remarkable is the fact that since Sainsbury and Raymond began their presentations from March 2011 through June 2013, there had been zero young driver involved ages 16 to 17 fatality crashes in Grant County, and only one young driver involved serious injury crash 16 to 17 years again. Prior to the presentations beginning, from June 2008 through February 2011, there were 5 fatality crashes and 7 serious injury crashes involving the same age. So it does make a difference. And another point I'm going to make, with our Child Car Seat Project, we've educated law enforcement across Grand Rapids County. We just had an officer, again, who was receiving the same Target Zero Award because he did a stop with a car. He saw that the 2 kids in the back seat were not properly restrained. He did not ticket them. Instead, he forced the mother to get out and correctly restrain her children. 5 miles down the road, she got into a crash, went over a ravine, flipped the car. Those 2 children would have been dead or seriously injured if he had not recognized the fact that they were not properly restrained and done something about it. So education does make a huge impact in our communities.
Thank you. So I want to make sure everyone has a chance to be heard. Is there anyone who did not sign up for public comment who would like this opportunity? Speak now, if you're a little bit, please come forward. And over there as well.
I'm Marcia Masters.
Yeah,
it won't take that long. I'm Marcia Masters. I'm from Kitsap County. I'm the Target Zero Manager at Kitsap County. I'm a longtime school teacher, retired school teacher, where I had a student that was killed in an alcohol-related crash. So my mission, my passion has been to protect the kids, protect the students. I've gone through the No Child Left Behind. I've gone through the different learning styles. I've gone through all the different things so that we can educate our kids. Our kids do not learn the same way as a cookie cutter program. They all have different learning styles, and so we have to reach out to those kids to reach those learning styles. I think the catchphrase now is Common Core. Everybody has that same strategy to work towards that same goal with the same outcome, and our outcome is Target Zero. Kitsap County in 2012 had 21 fatalities, a number of different reasons. 2013, we were down to 8. So it works. What we're doing in our county is it works. We reach out to every single person, school. We have a huge military base. We have talked to probably close to 6,000 military. We had a trooper that rode the ship up. Education works. And our numbers prove it. 21 down to 8. Thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward, sir.
Steve Sands, Mosley Police Department and the Grant Adams Project Director. Ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, thank you very much. Thank you to the Commission. Thank you for your folks for taking your time to listen to us. Honestly, the Walla Walla Chief, he guilted me into this because I echo 3 hours and no 5s. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, to me is that Washington State made a statement. And that statement was made by everyone in this room, and that is zero. Zero. Not in what Oregon and California did, and perhaps you folks do. I apologize that I don't. But being a leader means we have to make some hard choices. And I get that. But a bold statement also needs a bold plan. Patton may have said this, I don't know, I'll attribute it to him. Bottom line is a bold plan means we need resources. It means personnel, time, effort, and unfortunately money. And as you've heard from every CEO in here from the agency, we get the fact that we need to look at things differently. We get the fact that we need to say, where does the money come from, where does it go? Our question here, and it is not a personal attack on Mr. Grondell, I think his staff does a good job. None of it is. But it's saying, have we looked everywhere? Have we looked everywhere? We've heard success story after success story from these different areas. We've heard how our rates are continually going down. but have you looked everywhere where this money needs to go from? One of the things that I noticed, and again, I don't have the data, I apologize. Honestly, I would probably faint if I had to get up here and say anything about that. I'm not like these folks here. But bottom line, I don't see the data from Oregon and California. One of the things I do recognize is that if we are better than them, we do have more coordination. We do have more local managers. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I think it bears taking a good hard look at. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I can't speak for everyone because most of the people in here are like, just check their color. But I will be bold and say, on behalf of everyone in this room, because I'm the last person, thank you very much for your time. I don't envy you the statistics you can look at. But at the end of it, if you look at everything, and you can say, because our duty isn't just to the Traffic Safety Commission, our duty is to every citizen of Washington State, from Whatcom County, Monterey County, down to Soto, over to Ocaya County, back up to Fountain, everyone in between, that's where our duty lies. And if you can say at the end of this review, and looking at all these statistics, that this is the best plan to get us to target zero, I may disagree with you. I won't call you any names, I promise. I may disagree with you. But at least I can live with that and say they've looked at it and they've looked everywhere. The people that have the boots on the ground have asked for extra time. I would ask if that's unreasonable. But in the end, I thank you for your time. And I thank you for your service. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. That's it. You bet. Public comments closed, but we have commissioner questions.
These are questions, I think, for Chris. Chris, on page 25, when you talk about the stakeholder work that we've done and talked about it included the staff, coordinators, project directors, and others, there appears to be a lot of law enforcement stakeholders in the room that are asking for more time. Were they included in the review of the strategic assessment work group?
I wasn't at all the meetings, but I do know that some of the law enforcement liaisons from those positions, particularly the ones that were active, we held 5 meetings throughout the state. Law enforcement liaisons from those areas that hosted the meeting typically attended. I do remember the one I got to go in Kent where I think Robert Constance was at.
I think Clark had an alternate there. There was the invitation.
Chief Robbins, you were at the one.
And then I have a question on page 21 related to the strategies that we have and the it says increasing enforcement and expenditures. I'm pretty new to the commission, so part of it might be my view. What does it entail when you say you're going to increase the enforcement campaign expenditures? What does that mean in plain talk? And we talk about moving dollars from the locals to target zero strategies. I think Chris referred to this as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Are there specific things that you're looking at delivering upon in a general sense of target zero strategies that would be taken from the dollars that are coming from the locals?
Yeah, it's a great question. That slide was included specifically to show this is one area, and when we put the goals in the little yellow band across those tiers, what that means logistically is that we want to recruit more officer, deputy, and trooper participation during those periods throughout the year where we're running the enforcement campaigns. So we've heard from some agencies that there is capacity to expand our expenditures. We know that enforcement is really, I talked about that being a hallmark strategy. So that's one example where we believe this funding would be better served for us to recruit additional participation by law enforcement officers during those times of year when we're running the 4 enforcement campaigns. So that's logistically what that would mean, is essentially increasing expenditures in those areas during those campaigns.
On the tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3, there's different amounts. There's 30,000 for the tier 1, and then there's 60,000 for the middle of difference in increases. Is there a reason there's differences among the tiers as to how much you're adding?
From the average now to the goal, is that what you're referring to? Yes.
Yeah,
there is. When we looked at what our average expenditures are now, we essentially conducted a survey to say what do we think is reasonable in terms of the capacity of enforcement in those tiers for additional expenditures. And especially in Tier 2 counties, we feel like we are definitely under-expended in Tier 2 counties. When you see an average of $20,000, that's for the entire year for those enforcement campaigns in that entire county. So we feel like we're under-invested in the enforcement campaigns in Tier 2. And even in the Tier 3, which would be the two regions, we think we're under-invested even in those locations.
Any other questions?
Similar to something new to the commission, so a few questions. On slide 2, the Traffic Safety Task Force, it sounds like some of the coordinators support those task forces. Is that correct? Or do we actually support them?
Yeah. The task force is really kind of a local coalition, and they typically operate at the county level. Coordinators, depending on the location in the state, play different roles. Sometimes they're really facilitators of those coalitions, but for the most part, they involve law enforcement to a large degree, but also include participation from other safety stakeholders, engineering, health departments, those kind of things. And it's typically in those Tier 1 and even Tier 2 counties where we see a more diverse traffic safety task force. And in the Tier 3 locations, I think the coordinators generally serve as a pretty vital part of those task force in helping coordinate them. Is that okay?
And so I am an epidemiologist by training. So data, I don't run away from, but so were any models used to take a look at per capita, sort of the incidence of fatalities? If you do look at the per capita, it paints a very different picture. So you ran various models with those. So one of the concerns I have with sort of totally eliminating per capita is that we do have a target zero goal, which means we've got to get there everywhere in our state. That per capita is very different. Clark has the lowest of 20.4 fatalities per 100,000, all the way up to Adams, which is 131 per 100,000. So the range is huge, and it isn't just small numbers that are doing this. So that's just my data geek part of me trying to understand that.
Because I think that in Skagit County, we have a very, very, very successful coordinator and program. We have three safety corridors. And so I'm thinking, well, yeah, we look good because we are good. I mean, our numbers are down. We don't have the fatalities that we probably would have had before. And I'm thinking, is that taken into consideration of how good we did getting to where we're supposed to? I mean, our numbers are dropping and they're doing their things. But so I'm losing my person. That's the personal part. And I guess I would like to just, was that taken into consideration of how your programs worked and people were, we did a good job. And we did a good job, and I want to keep the good job going. I'm willing to compromise, and I'm willing to do some regionalization, but I think that, and I'm representing the counties here too, so I'm thinking I would really like to talk a little bit more about this. And we did that stage or not, but we're going anyway, so.
We are.
So I've got to speed it up a little bit. Anyway, I guess I would like to recognize that, and with full disclosure, I happen to have children that live in Wallowa County, and which is rural. But I want to I commend the staff. I commend Daryl for all that he's done. I think I love this, as I said many, many, many times. I love this group. I mean, it does what it's supposed to do. But I'd like to step back just a little bit and be able to talk about the things that were brought up here today, but also talk about the things that, as we are doing good in our programs, you know, this is why our numbers look good. So I'd like to. Does that make any sense? My cold is not doing well. It's really good.
Sharon, you're kind of segueing us into the direction. Do we have any other questions before we kind of head that direction?
Well, first I want to say to the staff that the school is working on how difficult this has been, the time and energy you've put into it. Importantly, to people in the field, thank you for what it is that you're doing. We talk about staying good and what we do, what we do. We've done a tremendous job in pulling ourselves together.
Before we go any further, I just want to read the motion that we already considered now, or not considered, but there'll be a second one that we considered. The motion is this, simply. Move that the commission direct WTSC staff to implement the proposed changes to the local implementation program in accordance with the discussion today and with the option to adjust proposed changes, if necessary, with respect to the regional groupings. Now, last clause there has been changed from when this meeting was first scheduled. So, what I'd like to do is see if we can get a motion in a second to have that be our topic of discussion so we can go forward there. So, would somebody be interested in making a motion? We have a quorum of six here. For action, yeah. I think it's important. I'll say, as your chair, I think it's very important that we vote this up or down today. Otherwise, we haven't really accomplished anything with this meeting.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
Darren, this is for you. Is there a time sensitivity to getting this decision made to implement the recommendations of staff, or is there time to work with a group of stakeholders that want more time?
The time when we're working on the zoning grant cycle right now is ending June 30th, and then we get the transition in July. So that's when the timeline we were working on is being able to make sure that we did have time to work with the counties and with all the coordinators to knew what was happening, so that timeline was great for me. So that's kind of my we were working on.
And the cycle is for a 1 year period.
It's a 1 year period. Yeah, these were all 1 year contracts with all the artists and members. We'll be going into the new grant cycles here right away for the 2015.
Do they have to be extended for a year, or can you do a 3 month extension to have further discussion?
That could be the decision the commission makes.
So I'd like to get the motion out there before we start changing it. we're totally
I'm not comfortable because I feel like there hasn't been adequate stakeholder work done in law enforcement.
Well, I think you can look at specifically like the DUI emphasis that we do. Many of the communities that we hear specifically are, we don't have flexibility in funding to be able to use it for local events. It's only St. Patty's Day or certain events. So part of that was going to be, as far as extra fundings for the counties, is being able to utilize it for, if they can have show up data-driven times in their counties and their areas that they can utilize those types of funds, is to have more flexibility to use that type of funding. So the overall expenditure also is we have to look at, you know, as far as how much federal funds we're using for that program, specifically, are they meeting those Target Zero strategies? Because we're accountable to NHTSA for those amount of funding, for that amount of funding, and what those things are being used for. So that, I mean, that's part of the, as we've shown, as part of protection that has to go along with that. So, you know, that's part of the part of our analysis is what are the, what's actually going on. We need to be able to show what that's what's happening. So, and then as far as the other funding is looking at, you know, we have all of these activities within the Target Zero plan is utilizing funding specifically for those types of strategies. And how can we use those around the state, not just urban areas, but around the entire state? And I think as far as what the consideration is really making sure that this recommendation is for the commission is going out and beginning that work to work with all of the counties, as we had in the presentation, is having the flexibility to, you know, alter the regional groupings if necessary. So, and what I hear is that is part of what that would be. So, go ahead, Sharon.
Good, and that's what I mean, because I want to be able to, if you can take this map, I mean, I've already done it, but, and be more flexible, because I see, if you go from Washington County, I mean, granted today I got here in 2 hours and 15 minutes.
You did?
Yeah, I did. We drove the speed limit, too.
I was following you along.
No, it was my husband. Anyway, he doesn't speak. Believe me, he doesn't speak. I'm just thinking of the geographical areas that you're covering. From, that's just one of the things I'd love to talk about. It's just the proximity of these people and trying to get it from point A to point B in a reasonable period of time. I get that they can handle the money part. I understand they can manage the money, that part. I don't have a problem. It's the physical area that they would have to cover from, I mean, I know how long it takes to get to Walla Walla. You know, I mean, I think that's what I need to feel more comfortable with. How do we cover this big geographical area?
Sure. So I want to speak here for a moment. I understand that we're starting to have a little bit of a consensus, so I want to puncture that here on the board. I appreciate everyone's perspective, and I will go with the role of the commission on this. I also appreciate everybody who's come here today. I don't think all of you are very efficient with it, and I really appreciate it. The heartfelt testimony and the public commentary we provided. But like a lot of you, probably everyone is going to be responsible as one of a friend to a traffic fatality. And I'm no different. One of the reasons I wanted to volunteer for this position. Like many of you here, I serve on several different boards. This is the third time I've gone through this process on different boards, where federal funding is constricted, where rules have changed to make that funding more competitive, and in situations where things have changed, money has been lost and clawed back, lost to our agency because we're not able to respond quickly and efficiently to those changes. So I commend Director Rondell and the commission for being proactive in working on this. I look at the road ahead and it is not looking any easier. In our state, we have a transportation package that could have an impact on this safety that we're trying to deal with in creating better roads and better infrastructure here in the state of Washington. It's practically dead right now in the legislature. We have a highway trust fund at the national level that we now understand will be bankrupt in August. That's where the money comes for the programs if we talk about federal money for these operations. I don't see any movement there either. It's up to us, especially I say us on the local level, whether you're law enforcement or local government, as we are, because we know all of this rolls downhill, and we are left to deal with. So in each of these situations on different boards I sat on, I've been in rooms just like this, but we've had to make these hard decisions. I am completely comfortable with the language here because I feel like it has some wiggle room and some flexibility to address some of these coverage concerns, which seems to be, if I may paraphrase, probably the top concern that I'm hearing from the folks here, that maybe the regional strategy hasn't been thought out quite well enough yet, and maybe need some augmentation with cooperation with local law enforcement. So I support the motion here, but for lack of a second,
I'll second the motion as written. I think I kind of joined with you.
Okay. I guess the question to us now is this motion with this language acceptable enough to provide the flexibility that the rest of the commissioners feel that we we need to go forward and take this framework that maybe change the end results of the framework, or do we kind of stop, take a breath, and start over a little bit?
I think one of the things that specifically with this process was, one, is as we begin this, at least this recommendation for a transition to change, is for what the commission, what the agency would do is with this recommendation go out and begin that process. You know, with the motion may be altered a little bit, but ultimately is being able to work with those regional groupings to identify maybe those areas around the state specifically that it would make more sense for some of the, you know, the folks on the table specifically to address those issues. And maybe the you have a north central Washington and an eastern Washington, or you have something maybe two in western Washington, or whatever that may look like. But that would give us the opportunity to begin, and then like with up there is there regional coordination up there to begin that process. We're already doing a mini coordination with several counties right now. I mean, one of them is Grant and Adams and Chelan and Douglas. So are there models that we can take from that and expand for those areas?
Do you want to suggest specific language that would give commissioners comfort that we're not just going to end up with what was proposed?
Right. Correct. That's... Because then that would be brought back to the April meeting, or it needs to be extended, but they at least we have it for the April meeting to discuss and show where all the groupings are. We can continue to work with WASPIC and the respective chairs.
So, Sharon, I look at you because you're in an affected county and you're representing the county.
Yes, I am.
Is there language that we could put in here that you think would specifically address that and give you higher comfort? Because right now, I'm going to read what it says, the commission directs Washington Traffic Safety Commission staff to implement proposed changes to the local implementation program in accordance with the discussion today and with the option to adjust the proposed changes if necessary with respect to regional groupings. That is, it's a little bit wishy-washy. It doesn't really say we will go for more than two regional groupings, which I think is where we're kind of hearing people say we need more than two.
What I want to see come back to this board is whether it's the same plan after discussion with folks or a different plan that comes back to us for specific.
Yeah, thank you.
I was going to suggest language that says before you even, because that says you're going to implement it,
right.
I think it needs to say that first that the staff will review the plan with appropriate local law enforcement. Consult with or something, and then that they'll come back with any proposed recommended changes to the plan as presented today for final approval.
All right, let me see if I can get that.
That
sounds really good. So,
which is a licensing.
All right, so here's what I have. Tell me about this now. But I have an additional sentence that says, staff will review plan with appropriate local law enforcement and return to the commission for a final vote of approval. Does that sound right?
I move that the commission direct the WTC staff to review the plan with appropriate local law enforcement to what did you say, Chief? What was the word you used? Consult with local law enforcement on the plan presented on today's date, and that you would bring back any recommended changes to that plan to the board for final approval.
Okay.
So do you want me to write that?
Yeah, and just want to make sure that we have doing changes to the local implementation program in the courts. Everybody knows that we're not starting from square one.
We're starting from one. Taking into consideration the discussion today,
right,
and then looking at and working with, and then coming back with additional proposals.
So, if you'll indulge us for just another minute or two. We're not going to leave this room until we get a vote on something. So, get this done.
Yes, sir.
I didn't come to get a mile.
That's true.
Say we're going to put the money here, here, and here.
So,
but I think that that's why we have to outline these are things that we can utilize the funds right away for is with the overtime funding. We have a ton of grants that normally come in that, you know, you have the grants that can be funded and then those that cannot. But there are proven strategies that we feel would have an impact that we cannot continue to fund. Or fund at all. So,
I have that. I move that the commission direct WTC staff to consult with local law enforcement on the proposed changes to the local implementation program in accordance with the discussion today, and that after the after that review is completed, WTC staff bring back to the commission recommendations for approval by the commission. Recommendations or bring back to the commission final approval.
For
final approval.
Hey, nods. Just want to make sure that we're really analyzing through the lens of what we got presented here today, and that includes the transition from contract individuals to FTEs. Everybody understands that's the direction we're going.
So you could say completed by doing bring back any changes of a final plan to the commission for final approval by the commission.
And I don't want anybody in this room to have the expectation that things are going to go back to status quo. There's going to be a robust discussion, and what when we get something that is not exactly as proposed, it's definitely not the way things are now. Chris?
Could I ask just the staff that would be responsible for actually doing that, in terms of the plan, we really looked at three tiers, right? The tier one, tier two, and tier three. I wonder if maybe a way to so that we would have some real actionable direction from you as a commission is to, we have among tiers one and tiers two, we have really 10 coordinator positions. 7 of them are existing FTEs, 3 of them are existing contractors. So the first thing would be, is there some kind of consensus in our analysis, which we determined the best approach would be to transition those to FTEs? Is there consensus for us to work on that in terms of tiers one and tiers two to transition those that are individual contractors to FTEs? And then I think this, what you're talking about, seems to be really focused on tier three counties, which would be then consulting with sheriffs and chiefs in this room about whether or not a dedicated coordinator may be merited, or they may merit a dedicated coordinator in those locations. So I guess I'm just trying to get at, I want to make sure we can act on on your decision.
So, Chris, I think I just asked a question and got response head nods that for your first question, yes, transition to FTE.
Okay.
Your second question, I'll do that open to the commissioner's response.
I would respond that I'm not necessarily saying that it can't be the same plan. All I'm asking is that we do the stakeholder work with law enforcement, and it could be the same plan. I just wanted to make sure that we engage in discussion and make sure we fully understand what this means. So I'm not necessarily saying a different plan.
Okay.
I agree with kind of two areas that are a little discomfort for me around the tiers. One is that the model didn't take into account at all the per capita issue. In the current model we have in front of us. And that could change a little bit about what the tiers actually look like. But my bigger concern is, I guess, in the end, with whatever numbers we come up with, can we run those new regions with the model and see what that does in terms of equity and funding?
Say
that question
for the
so with the, let's just take what you have right now. If you ran the numbers using the model you have with the regions and the counties as you have them now, how would they map out, and what does that do in terms of equity of funding? Does that make sense to you guys?
So we did do some analysis, and I had it in the presentation, but. So what we came to in terms of salaries and benefits for Tier 3 positions, 45% of our total expenditures for salaries and benefits goes to Tier 3 locations.
But what I don't know is where your number comes out on the model.
That's right. So the second part of that equation is that you heard Jim Lordy talk about this idea of 60% of fatalities are on rural roads versus 40% in a state and urban. A critical part of that statistic is that half of those 60% occur in the rural locations of Tier 1 and Tier 2 counties. And then 90% of the urban fatalities in Washington occur in Tier 1 and Tier 2 counties. So basically, what that distills to is that 2 out of every 3 fatalities in this state occur in Tier 1 or Tier 2 counties. 65% of the fatalities in Washington occur in those two tiers. So essentially what we've got is it's about 33%, 34% of fatalities in Tier 3 counties, but 45% of our salaries and benefits are going to those Tier 3 counties. So that sort of gets at what you've asked, which is how does that relate in terms of the funding distribution among the Tier 3
counties? So I understand that between the 40% or whatever it is that's left over in the rural counties, I would be concerned about the gap analysis.
Right.
Because we still are trying to get to zero.
Right? Yep, that's absolutely right. So and that's why
we're sure that we have a level of comfort and understanding as to what are we leaving that with.
Yeah, absolutely, Chief. And that is why the two slides that list the activities by tier are really important for us. That was the place where we said what we want to do in Tier 3 is really focus, and the additional savings would go into more enforcement and educational campaigns in Tier 3 counties. Additional also in Tier 2 counties and in Tier 1 counties. That's sort of that trade-off that I probably didn't do a real good job of outlining there, is that we're constantly in this process of trade-offs between the coordinator positions and the enforcement.
So when you wrap up, I want to give staff direction. We still need to vote, John.
I think I'm comfortable with the motion. I think if some of us want to have some one-on-one conversations with staff, that would be more productive than trying to work and for on both sides.
So we have been the responsibility of some offline conversations with staff to give them some more direction.
Right. And just one more question. Are we married to the three tiers? I mean, is that?
Not at this point.
Okay, good. Perfect.
I think, though, mostly what we're talking about is whether or not third tier should be staff or whether it's permanent or
whatever. Right. Yeah, because I don't know how you bring in a fourth tier.
I wasn't thinking of fourth tier.
On the issue that Chris raised around independent contractors versus staffing, do you hear any concerns from independent contractors?
In terms of whether the transition is possible?
Yeah, and the impact as a result of that.
No. Oh, go ahead.
I mean, I wouldn't say concerned so much. We had some encouraging conversations initially, and these conversations are very preliminary. But there have been some discussions about how that would look. I mean, there's certainly not a lot of sense that we can kind of set up for it. I mean, there's a lot of questions. And I think that's what was to be expected. But we were, I myself was encouraged by some of the conversations.
And can the Target Zero managers that are currently impacted by this, can they apply for the regional positions, or is that?
Well, I certainly think we would leave that open, yeah.
The Target Zero managers, they would be applying to the host agency, not directly to us.
I think as far as an explanation is, if let's say we down the road decide that there's a regional grouping and they want to have a regional coordinator, and they decide that the counties themselves will have that ability to make that process. We will help to consult and do that, but that will be up to them. They get to decide and agree upon that.
We don't hire them.
That is something that the counties would hire that person and make that decision. We would then just fund that.
I want to call the question here when we use our quorum. This is all great discussion.
So did we get the motion passed?
Yes. So, one last time. The motion is that the commission district direct WTSC staff to consult with local law enforcement on the proposed changes to the local improvement program.
Implementation
program. In accordance with the discussion today, and after that, after the review is completed, WTSC staff bring back any changes to the final plan for the commission for final approval by the commission.
Do you want to give that a specific timeline? Did we have a commission meeting in April? Can we have a commission meeting in July?
Can it be done by April?
Well, that's why I'm.
We'll target April, and then you'll tell us whether it's July.
Okay.
Given your budget, I mean, the timelines, it would be helpful to get done by April, but do you have the staffing resource?
I'm sorry.
By April, we can have.
I'd say probably unlikely, given that we're going through the anagram process right now.
So we could at least have, because we have another commission meeting in July. But at the same time, we have the advanced process that's going through, so we'll have to just determine how we're going to handle the extension of the contracts that are currently in place.
So, application is telling us to do it. I'm happy to meet
at any time of
the meeting.
So, July, unless you
can. I will hold you to that.
Yeah. Anytime.
I didn't say that.
Unless you can get it done right. You hear that, Chris?
Yes.
All right. So,
do we have to have included in the motion an extension of the contract then, or is that not an issue?
I don't know if it's an issue. I just want to make sure it's clear that everybody knows that what the process is, because I don't want anything to be misconstrued as we walk on away from this.
All right.
Can I just say something about the contract? My understanding is that it is contracting with the Target Zero managers, their house agency. We would like to have it so that by June 30th, this is all done. But there's no law that says we have to have it done by June 30th. Don't have to give a 1-year contract starting July 1st.
That's fine. Okay. Thanks, Steve. Let's just get this voted on. You have a motion on the floor. I want to hear all those in favor of the motion. Please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. And with that,
good work, John.
You're adjourned.
Thank you.
I'm going to get my direction, so I don't
have any idea.
I'm going to get my directions right here.
Yes. Yes.